May the grace and peace of God be with you.
And also with you.
As we make our Advent pilgrimage, looking forward to the celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, let us in prayer and praise, thanksgiving and song, give voice to the hope set forth in the Scriptures that Christ's reign of love and light will indeed come among us. Let us offer ourselves anew as witnesses to the advent of Christ's glory, seeking to bring Christ's light and love to those who sit in darkness.
Come, O long-expected Jesus, come.
Blessed be the one holy and living God.
Glory to God forever.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Purify our conscience, Almighty God, by your daily visitation, that your Son, Jesus Christ, at his coming, may find in us a mansion prepared for himself, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. Now to God, who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages but is now disclosed, and through the prophetic writings is made known to all the Gentiles, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you.
Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Luke. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. He came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. Please be seated. One of my favorite museums is the Cloisters in New York City. It houses the medieval collection of the Metropolitan Museum of Art, which of course means it's filled with religious art, thus its name and monastic architecture. The museum is home to 25 paintings depicting today's gospel, the Annunciation. The 15th century Dutch artist Petrus Christus's Annunciation is typical of how the story is often portrayed. If not in person, you've probably seen this painting in Christmas cards. Mary appears as a beautiful young lady from a royal household, standing on the steps of a great cathedral. The church has a lovely English garden all around, and both Mary and the angel Gabriel are turned out for the occasion in blue, cream, and crimson silk. There's even a bouquet of fresh lilies. Perhaps Gabriel came not only with a message from God, but flowers for the Lady Mary. The work is beautiful, but it bears little resemblance to the poor Jewish girl named Mary, who was living in a forgotten and oppressed part of the world, and who knew very little about the finer things of life. And unlike the painting, Mary's actual circumstances resemble how it most often works with God. Repeatedly, God chooses those in the world that judged unlikely, or those who perhaps like us feel unworthy, to help bring out God's plan for the world. We grow up hearing stories about the saints and the martyrs and assume that they were all larger-than-life players in the drama of salvation history. But on closer examination, we discover a whole cast of ordinary, often incredibly flawed individuals whom God chose to work through. In the Annunciation story, we focus on Mary's unequivocal yes to God's intrusion into her life. But as the writer and preacher Barbara Brandler points out in her book, Gospel Medicine, Mary didn't really have a choice about the events the angel came to announce. Brown writes, the angel did not ask her if she would like to be the mother of God. Rather, he told her God had been gracious to her, that she would be a son, and that he would reign over the house of Jacob forever. The angel did not ask her how this sounded to her and whether she'd like to try out for the role. Mary's yes was not, okay, God, I agree with your plan as presented, versus, God, this is really a crazy idea. Can we try something different? Rather, it was yes to this confusing, unexpected news that surely made no sense in the moment. Mary's yes is about her complete trust in God, even if what God is sending her way is incomprehensible and full of potential hardship. Are we willing to do the same? To see God in the events of our lives and unequivocally say yes, trusting in God's providence. Do not be afraid, Mary. The angel understands that saying yes to God does not mean that we won't feel frightened or alone, confused. Just like the cleaned-up depictions of the Annunciation by medieval artists, angels are usually depicted as lovable, protective cherubs who keep us from harm's way. There's that famous illustration from Sunday school that you might remember of a guardian angel protecting a young girl and boy as they cross their street, across the street on their way to school. Yesterday, here at the cathedral, we had the children's Christmas pageant, and there was a whole host of adorable 3- and 4-year-old angels with tinsel halos and flapping wings who were indeed lovable cherubs. But in the Bible, angels are usually associated with troubling rather than comforting news. And Mary was probably feeling anything but protected from harm's way by the angel's announcement. Joseph must have surely been confused, even angry, about what he was hearing. The gospel says Mary was much perplexed, and in Matthew's account of this story, we're told that Joseph had indeed resolved to leave Mary. But in the end, both Joseph and Mary knew about such encounters with God. They knew that throughout the scriptures and the life of the Hebrew people, God repeatedly steps into the course of history by stepping into the course of someone's life, often in strange, unexpected, and usually confusing ways. And so Mary and Joseph knew that such a message from God was going to involve sacrifice, huge responsibility, and would more than likely require a change in their life's priorities. So on this fourth Sunday of Advent, we prepare to receive God among us. The crisp question before us is, are we willing to embrace a God who will more than likely challenge our plans and our priorities for the sake of helping to realize God's plan for justice and peace in the world? We live with and fiercely cling to the illusion that we're completely in control of our world. We spend so much of our energy supporting this illusion, and yet we know it not to be true. But the Annunciation story asks that in spite of our illusions, can we see God acting in and through us, particularly in the unexpected, the inexplicable, the often painful, as well as the joyful events of our lives? Do we trust God's faithfulness in all the news of our lives, the good, the confusing, and the troubling? Suddenly an illness, a lost job, a broken relationship interrupts our best laid plans. Perhaps right now you or someone you know are experiencing firsthand loss, grief, and anxiety because of the current economic situation. But like Mary, can we say yes to God, who asks to work in and through us, even when we are afraid, or the circumstances before us don't seem to make any sense, or our best laid plans are thrown into chaos? Today we stand on the threshold of Christmas, and we're offered a clear epiphany of just how it is with our God who takes on our flesh. God works through ordinary folks like you and me and Mary and Joseph. God works through the confusion of our lives. And even when we feel unworthy, which is most of the time, God calls upon us to be partners in helping fulfill God's plan for creation. And of course, the ultimate manifestation of this involvement in human history is the announcement in today's gospel. The announcement in today's gospel invites us to join with that great cloud of witnesses throughout the scriptures who have said, "Here I am, Lord." Will we let God interrupt our lives so as to transform our lives? Truth be told, we're actually much more like Mary and Joseph than we realize. Because at a fundamental level, I think we know that saying yes to God will involve being pushed out beyond our comfort zones and the carefully constructed worlds we create to keep us from fully engaging God's creation. We also know that after we get past the glitter and the warm feelings of this very special time of year, when we get to the real stories behind the great medieval artwork that captures our faith in the trappings of earth power, we find that the manger has become the Jesus who says to each of us, "Follow me." God takes on our flesh, starting with the lowliest, the outcast, and the destitutes. That's why he was born in a stable. No one is excluded from God's love. No one. He did that to show us that God is with us and to invite each of us to make God's love flesh in the world, just as Mary did. In Gospel Medicine, Taylor points to Meister Eckhart, a medieval theologian who wrote, "We are all meant to be mothers of God. What good is it to me if this eternal birth of the divine Son takes place unceasingly but does not take place within myself? And what good is it to me if Mary is full of grace and I am not also full of grace? What good is it to me for the Creator to give birth to his Son if I do not also give birth to him in my time and culture? This, then, is the fullness of time, when the Son of God is begotten in us." When Mary asked the angel how this could come about, she was told, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." Will we open our hearts to allow the Holy Spirit to guide our lives, to overshadow us, even when it doesn't fit neatly with our life's plans? Will we say yes to the Holy Spirit working in and through us to be God's transforming love in the world? Are we prepared this Christmas and beyond to let that happen? Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed.
Let us affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Mary, the mother of Christ, is assigned to the church of faithful obedience to the will of God. As we near the celebration of the birth of Christ, let us pray that we, like Mary, may hear God's word and respond in obedient faith, saying, "Here I am, O God."
Let it be with us according to your word.
We pray for your church in Jerusalem, the Middle East, and throughout the world, for all bishops, priests, and deacons, and the priesthood of all believers, that we would manifest Christ and draw the world to you. Here I am, O God.
Let it be with us according to your word.
We pray for the people and leaders of all nations, for George, our president, and for Barack, our president-elect, that they may be inspired to govern with equity and justice. Here I am, O God.
Let it be with us according to your word.
We pray for all those in the war-torn areas of the world, especially those in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Darfur, that your peace would become known and prevail. Here I am, O God.
Let it be with us according to your word.
We pray for all who are burdened by financial insecurity and all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, that, as Christ has taught us, we may minister to one another in our times of need. Here we are, O God. We pray for those who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and that we may share with them in the joy of your heavenly realm. Here we are, O God.
God of promise, you restore your people's life and hope as we await the Christ child. Fill our hearts with the joy of your saving grace, that we may hold fast to great goodness and in our lives proclaim your love to all the world. Amen. Let us confess our sins to God. God of all mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you, opposing your will in our lives. We have denied your goodness in each other, in ourselves, and in the world around. We repent of the evil that enslaves us, the evil we have done, and the evil done on our behalf. Forgive, restore, and strengthen us through our Savior Jesus Christ, that we may abide in your love and serve only your will. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Let us exchange with one another a sign of God's peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Christ be with you. Please be seated. Once again, we're delighted to have all of you with us today, especially if you're visiting. We'd love for you to linger for some coffee and some other refreshments and conversation just following the service. It takes place at the west end of the cathedral, just over to your right as you're going out. Please do it, and keep your eye out for people wearing purple buttons if you're a visitor. The purple buttons mean that they are locals. They are here, part of our congregation and life, and we would love to tell you more about the cathedral and its ministries and point you in the right direction for whatever you might be looking for. The Christmas season is upon us. We begin this afternoon with our carols by candlelight, our cathedral celebration of Christmas itself. We invite you to come this afternoon at 4 o'clock for this beautiful service of the favorite carols and anthems and lessons of the Christmas season, our telling of the full Christmas story from beginning to end. And that sets the tone for what will be happening as we go forward. It's 4 o'clock this afternoon. By all means, come and join us. There are a lot of details in the leaflet that tell you about the Christmas services themselves. Unfortunately, the two on Christmas Eve, all the passes for those have been taken. There is a way for some people to come and look for standby tickets. It will tell you about that inside. Also on Christmas Day, with services at 9, noon, and 4, there are opportunities to worship. And at the 9 o'clock service, that is our broadcast television service. We're always looking for a group of robust singers for the service that will go out across the nation, so we invite you to come and join us for that. We do know that so many who are regularly part of our life here will be traveling over the holidays, and we wish you all Godspeed and safe travel and a blessed Christmas to all of you, just as we do those who come here and are going back to your homes. A blessed Christmas to all of you in this very holy season. We go on now in our service now to breaking the bread and sharing the wine of God's love for us in Christ, something we do each week. Anyone here who seeks a deeper relationship with God and Christ is welcome to come and participate in the Eucharist. There will be ushers to show you the way and some further details about receiving communion in our leaflet. Also, if there are people here who would like particular prayers, you're invited to go to the high altar just after you've received communion. Make your way up aisles on either side, and there will be someone there to pray with you. And we begin our feast of God's love by giving back to God some portion of what has been given to us for the spreading of Christ's love through the life and ministry of this cathedral. So let us now with gladness present the offerings of our life and labor to the Lord.
So fair and bright.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, O God, Creator of heaven and earth. Because you sent your beloved Son to redeem us from sin and death, and to make us heirs in him of everlasting life, that when he shall come again in power and great triumph to judge the world, we may without shame or fear rejoice to behold his appearing. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took a cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O God, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where, with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Saint Peter, Saint Paul, and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Ave Maria.
Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for restoring us in your image and nourishing us with spiritual food in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. Now send us forth a people forgiven, healed, and renewed, that we may proclaim your love to the world and continue in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. May Christ, whose second coming in power and great glory we await, make you steadfast in faith, joyful in hope, and constant in love. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
To love and serve the Lord.